This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, everyone. Good to have you with us ahead of the golfing action this week. Dave Kellner and Dave Tindall here on this edition of the Golf Podcast. Very good to have you with us for what is a huge week in the world of golf. The Players' Championship at Ponte Vedra Beach in Florida is the destination for this week's action. Dave Tindall alongside me here in the William Hill studio. Dave, this is exciting. It's one of the biggest events of the entire season, and because all the top names are there, we're getting big prices on a lot of players as well this week.
Absolutely, and it's always been a tricky one down the years because, say the Masters, you kind of know that Rory will be up there, Spieth will be up there, Fowler will probably be up there. There's a lot of kind of, it's easy to predict, whereas this one, you look through the top guys' records, you'll find a load of missed cuts in there. It's like, yeah, there'll be a good year and then a bad year, and it's like, this is tricky. So I think we need those sort of quite nice prices to compensate because it is a tough one.
Just before we get stuck into the betting, quick word on last week where Jason Day won in the Wells Fargo Championship. Didn't have his best game on Sunday, but a mark of a great champion. And by golly, can he put the ball.
Yeah, I think he was top, wasn't he? Strokes gained around the green as well. He was just... It shows short game and putting, that cures a lot of long game evils, isn't it, if you're good at those two elements. And he said he kind of didn't know where it was going in the final round. He went into water, didn't he, late on, but just bounced back. Could he be getting back to those levels where he was just winning week after week? Interesting.
Faldo was purring about that putting performance. I don't know if you saw any of that coverage on Sunday, but he was talking about the mechanics behind the Jason Day putting stroke, and he was almost bordering obsession with Jason Day's putting.
Yeah, I read something the other day about Jason Day when he said, "Whatever putting's 40% of your round, or something like that, or something along those lines," and so he therefore dedicates 40% of his practice time to putting. Okay. Where, I don't know, the average golfer sees it as a sort of frivolous addition. And, you know, so many people pounding balls on the range and yet, you know, and don't give the same to the putting. But he absolutely does. He absolutely knows how key it is to him winning events. And we saw it again.
And a quick word on the Golf Sixers as well, which was won by the Irish pair of Paul Dunne and Gavin Moynihan. We talked about the Zurich Classic of New Orleans not really working as an alternative format event. Does the event, the Golf Sixers, work in your opinion, Dave?
I thought it was sort of good fun.
Yeah, I did as well.
The idea that the sort of the women would play well panned out quite nicely, didn't it? We got two through to the quarters, and I thought, that's when they fell. But I think the theory was decent enough that it would level the playing field, so that could be an angle to look at next time. But overall, I thought it was a good fun event. Yeah. You know, perhaps we sometimes think that we sort of people who bet on it, that's what golf should be tailored towards. But I mean, it's tailored, it should be bigger than that, shouldn't it? Growing the game, getting youngsters involved. Otherwise, it's just a load of old fuddy duddies, isn't it? Who kind of captains car parking spaces and all that rubbish. So it was good to see that event.
It should be all about the betting.
Well,
let's talk about the betting now, because we have got the Players' Championship this week, and at the top of the betting, we've got 14-1 co-favourites of three. Jason Day, Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy, all in the betting at 14-1. Dustin Johnson and Justin Thomas are both 16-1. Ricky Fowler is 20s. John Rahm and Justin Rose, both 25s. Henrik Stenson, 28-1. Patrick Reed and Paul Casey, both 33-1. And it's 35-1 and bigger the rest. I actually want to start this preview, Dave, by talking about last year. Okay. Because Siwoo Kim's victory was so special in my mind. Maybe the performance of the entire year. He had finished 23rd on debut the year before, but his final round of 69 was nerveless and showed a maturity beyond his years.
Yeah, shame he didn't bloody use all that fantastic play the other week when I was on him at 100s, but there you go. Yeah, it was a brilliant event for him. And yeah, when he did mess up the other week, he was still, in a way, showing that he is, you know, fairly kind of, you know, he just gets on with it, doesn't he? He doesn't sort of just sort of cower and go to pieces. He's very tough mentally.
Very strong mentally.
And I think he could come back quite quick.
The putting fell apart, didn't it?
Yeah, but that was sort of one element. Yeah. But he wasn't driving it into lakes and everything. It is very mentally tough, and that's certainly something you need to have on this course.
And TPC Sawgrass, the host venue, has often been a haven for elder statesmen, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Those that have vast experience of the subtleties that Pete Dye, the designer of this golf course, introduces on each and every hole. But Kim picked apart the golf course on Sunday for that famous victory last season, became the youngest winner in 36 years of this tournament as well. So kind of going against the trends last season's event.
Yeah, I think so. It does sort of stand out when you look back at the previous years that he... But then again, trends are starting to get rewritten by all these younger players, aren't they? So we have to be a little bit careful. But yeah, well, just a fantastic performance. And it is a tricky course. I think McIlroy describes it as awkward visually off the tee. And you can see that with all the angles that Pete Dye likes to create. So sometimes players just will always struggle. Others might work it out after a few years. Others seem to take to it straight away.
It's a par 72 Sawgrass, measuring 7,189 yards, which sounds pretty straightforward on paper, but it's anything but that. And if you read the quotes from a number of players who both like and dislike Dye's designs, they talk about the way this golf course messes with your head and plays tricks with the eyes. And that, combined with the difficulty of the bumps and swales and hollows around the greens, keeps the scoring down and makes this a real test. People know about that signature hole, the par 3 17th with its island green, which is a wedge or a 9-iron on a calm day. But if the wind blows, you'll see lots of balls in the water there. And water is a feature around Sawgrass as well.
Yeah, I saw Josh Culper does the fantasy, Future of Fantasy. His preview, he kind of listed his correlating courses as those with lots of water on. Mm. So he even used Shashan International in China, just because that seems to be a factor visually. Obviously, a lot of the Florida courses are lots of water on those, the others that we've seen this season. So, yeah, that is certainly a factor this week.
Pete Dye, a famous designer as well, and yep, also on that website that you just referenced, Future of Fantasy, it breaks down how players have performed on Pete Dye designed golf courses in their careers as well, which is very interesting and a useful tool for this week, perhaps.
Yeah, and we saw one recently with the Heritage Hilton Head, so that's kind of a bit of very recent form on a Pete Dye track.
What do you see as keys this week then, Dave? Because we've had some huge priced winners of the players in the past. That's not to say the best players in the world can't handle the golf course, but as you made mention of, you've got wins dotted in with multiple miscuts, even for the world's best.
Absolutely. Tiger, you know, had a pretty modest record there for a long time. You thought, will he ever win there? I can see maybe someone like Spieth struggling to win there, maybe, just because... Not the fact that he's not great tee to green, just the fact that I think he likes to see creative shapes, and this is maybe a bit more, I don't know, you've got to sort of trust things a bit more. You can't quite see it as he likes to see it. Maybe Bubba won't ever win there. I think it attracts a certain sort of steady eddy. I mean, I do like strokes gained approach. I think that's a massive stat this week.
I like scrambling here as well.
Right.
Personally, because I think if you miss these greens, as you will likely do, it's just that there's a different dynamic around these greens. As I mentioned, it's they're very much contoured, aren't they? And it's tough to work it out if you are missing greens on a regular basis.
Yeah, so I think it helps if you hit them. But then that tracks back to you need to hit the fairways to do that. So you can see why some sort of steady eddies have done well there.
Yeah,
going back to sort of Fred Funk in the past, who's probably not long enough, but because he kept hitting the fairways.
And the most recent example of that is Francesco Molinari, who's got a cracking record around Sawgrass without classic, ever really contending.
Yeah, classic tee to green player. What's he got, three top sevens or something like that in his last three trips? So, yeah, those tee to green, but strokes gained approach is one I've looked at quite closely.
I've got two picks for this week and bordering on a third, so I'm half tempted to slip the third in, but I'll go with two as things stand at this. Actually, I've got a drift here, so I'll go with three, definitely three now.
Okay. I've got three, but I can't see that screen.
Oh, you can't see the prices.
No, shall I go first?
Yeah, you lead off. So we've got six picks between us this week.
Yeah, well, possibly.
So let's have a match.
This is one where I think I might have overlapped on you, but I don't know.
Okay.
First tip, Patrick Cantlay.
No, I've not gone with Cantlay.
Okay.
Close, though, for me.
Right, yeah.
Patrick Cantlay, can see him playing well. Just 50s. Looking down the betting, 50 to 1.
Good, yeah. 50 to 1. Recent form then, seventh Zurich Classic, whatever, that's a pairs event, but it was okay. Before that, seventh again at the Heritage Hilton Head on a Pete Dye track, so he clearly likes that.
And the Zurich Classic's a Pete Dye design as well, isn't it?
I guess so, yes.
If you're breaking it down like that.
If you want to add anything you can to it, yeah. Fourth at the Genesis, which is a ball strikers course, Riviera, which kind of highlights his strengths. Looking in his stats this season, he's second in greens in regulation, 13th tee to green, 10th strokes gained off the tee. So he's got all those kind of steady eddy, hits fairways, hits greens, good stats. And in this event last year, I think you said Siwoo Kim was tied 23rd on debut last year as a sort of good sighter. Well, Cantlay was tied 22nd, so he got a good sighter last year. Just delving down a notch as well, he was actually 7th. After 54 holes, just struggled on the final day, which can happen. So I think Patrick Cantlay, I think he's due now to step up. I mean, his backstory is kind of an appropriate word. He had a bad back, didn't he? He was touted as a great, could be great player, then struggled with injury. I think now we're starting to see him come through. He did win in Vegas at the back end of last year. So I think he's ready to really launch himself at a big event. And maybe not a major just yet, but I think this one is right in his wheelhouse. So I think Patrick Cantlay's 50s is a nice bet.
It is the fifth major, isn't it, this one?
I think it's about ninth now, though, isn't it? After the WGCs. Who knows?
I'm going down a similar path to you here.
Yeah.
A player out of the Siwoo Kim mould, right, so to speak, who has played it once but missed the cut on his debut last year. I like Cameron Smith.
Right,
this year,
yeah,
at 66-1 here with William Hill. Only played it once under tournament conditions. Just narrowly missed the cut last year. But he's set up his home in Jacksonville, Florida. And Sawgrass is where he does the majority of his practicing on off weeks as well. So a lot of experience of the golf course. Big fan of Dye Designs as well, Cameron Smith, and tends to play some of his best golf on them. And his first tour win came in that pairs event last year alongside Jonas Blixt in the TPC Louisiana Zurich Classic of New Orleans. And Smith's recent form, just very strong. Sixth at the Genesis, which you said might be a decent pointer, and made a run at the match play, and then was tied fifth at Augusta as well in the Masters. He's had a tendency to show up at the very biggest events this season, and I do put a lot of stock in short game. Yeah, he ranks ninth in scrambling this season. I think he's one of those will find a lot of fairways, a lot of greens, and I think he's got a big chance at a decent price. So Cameron Smith, the Australian, also have a pretty respectable record here as well, don't they, at Sawgrass. A few of them have won it before. Elkington, I think, won it back in the day.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Jason Day obviously won it a couple of years ago, so hopefully Cameron Smith can etch his name onto that trophy this week. And 66-1, Cameron Smith is my first pick.
Very good.
Go on, Dave, give us your second name.
There's a clue there. Second pick is Henrik Stenson. 28, I believe.
He is 28-1, Henrik.
Yeah, I thought that was just pushing towards something quite decent for him because he's a former winner of this event, so he can win here. Famously kind of just takes out his 3-wood, doesn't need to blast driver all the time. 3-wood, in play, thank you. Look at his stats this season. Just absolutely fantastic. First in driving accuracy, which you kind of wouldn't maybe think. You would have thought it'd be a shorter, steadier player. First in greens in regulation. First in strokes gained approach. Just everything, all tee to green, fantastic stats. And what I really like is he's coming off his best performance ever at the Masters.
Yeah, that was a good run for him,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, tied fifth, which if it had been someone, if it had been like Spieth, you know, that's just a normal year. But for Stenson, that was a real step up on what he'd achieved previously. So I think that shows just how good his game is. Because before that, six in Houston, fourth at Bay Hill, another Florida track, the latter one, just shows how well he's playing. And I don't think he's quite getting the recognition for it with that price. Former winner, as I say, 15th 2012, top five again 2013, top 20s again 2015 and 2017. So whereas I said earlier, some players are absolutely hit and miss, he seems to be the one who's always likes this course, always plays well there. And he's going to come into it on the back of that Masters. He did play with Rose in the Zurich Classic, but as I'm not using that form to sort of validate, I'm just as, you know, happy to sweep that under the carpet because they didn't do great there. But on his own again, back at Sawgrass, I think Stenson is a big each way player at 28.
I think that goes back to what we were saying about Francesco Molinari having a good record. It's when Stenson doesn't have to have driver in hand on these holes, that's when he's performing at his absolute
optimum. Yeah, I mean, even though there are four par fives and it's a par 72, he's still got the length with that 3-wood to do good things on those holes. But just all those stats, it really is quite a stats play, this one, looking at how good he is tee to green this year.
Yeah.
And his putting, to be honest, isn't too bad either. I think he's 54th. My pen's gone wrong there. I think it says 54th. So his putting is okay. It is in the top quarter third for putting. So yeah, I think he can back up that really good tee to green play.
I'm going with Tiger Woods.
Right, yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Yeah,
as my second selection.
Seen a few people like Tiger
this week. I think 35-1 is a reasonable price on Woods. His results at Sawgrass have been mixed down the years, obviously. One thing that cannot be denied, though, is that when Woods is fit and healthy, he's always a threat on Bermuda grass in Florida. 16 wins in the state of Florida in his career, including twice around Sawgrass. And he's already shown his liking for events in Florida this season. That second place finish at the Valspar and tied for fifth at Arnold Palmer's event at Bay Hill. And the Copperhead course at Innisbrook, which hosts the Valspar, is probably the closest course he's encountered this season to Sawgrass, really. A course where you don't need driver. And that's the one he came closest to winning. And after Saturday at the Wells Fargo, I thought he'd be an absolutely superb bet this week. But it was disconcerting to see him fail to make a birdie on Sunday, which slightly tempered the enthusiasm. But I think his game is in a lot better shape than that finishing result at Quail Hollow suggests, really. You look through his stats, he ranked 8th in strokes gained tee to green and 9th in greens in regulation. His short game just wasn't as good as it had been in his first few events after his belated comeback. But I think the familiarity with this type of grass and the work that he will have done in the interim, I expect him to improve on his short game performance at the Wells Fargo. And I think that 35-1 is pretty reasonable for Tiger Woods, actually, this week, Dave.
Yeah, I think if you read his quotes last week, it was a funny combination last week. The greens, if you landed on the greens, they were hard and bouncy, but they putted really slow.
Yeah, it was weird, wasn't it?
And Tiger kept saying, I really want to trust it, but I can't get out of my head that they're this slow. Because he's seen his ball ping off the greens and he's thinking these are fast greens, which he likes, and he just couldn't get the ball to the hole. So I think you can really sort of excuse him for his average putting last week because he just couldn't get the hang of it.
Were you tempted 35-1?
Not quite, because no.
Do you think he's still got a way to go yet?
I think he'll win a softer event than this.
Right.
I think 35 in this field, he's not world number one anymore, is he? Mm. So I'm willing to let him go. It'd be brilliant if he won, but not yet for me.
Okay, fine. Third pick?
Well, I'm going to pick the guy who I think is the world number one, even though the rankings say he isn't, Justin Thomas.
All right, okay. That's a surprise to me, 16-1.
I think he is the best player in the world when he gets hot at the minute. And similar for Tiger last week, actually, he marked our cards before the event, Justin Thomas. He said, Quail Hollow, it's not like it was when he won the USPGA. They've changed all the grasses, they've overseeded it. So he basically said, I wish it was like how it played last summer, because that's when he won, and he just went there, and you could tell he was like, this isn't probably going to be my week. And he did okay. I thought tied 21st. That was a decent enough effort. Again, at Augusta National, we don't quite think maybe that's his course just yet. And he was 17th. So I'm just waiting for a course where I think he can show what he can do. And he's got a third place here before. So miscut last year, but we've kind of said you can excuse that because if you're just a bit off, you can miss cuts. But
I think if you didn't pick anyone that who'd played like more than six or seven times here and not missed a cut,
yeah, you're doing well. Yeah,
that'd limit the your options.
So he was 24th on debut 2015, third 2016, missed cut last year. So basically, he's got a good first knock and a really good second one. I just think he's ready to step up. I mean, before the Masters, second in Mexico, won the Honda on a Florida track. Ninth in strokes gained approach, sixth in tee to green. I was just expecting he's not favourite. He's fourth favourite behind.
Yeah, behind Day, Spieth, McIlroy.
I don't think he should be on this course.
Right, okay.
I think he should be, if not on his own, at least joint favourite or co-favourite. Mm. So I'm willing to play him at 16s. I think we'll see just how good he is.
Okay, that's your three picks done. I've definitely got to slot this guy in because his price has drifted. It's not Billy Horschel. He's 50-1, but yeah, he would have been
collared him a bit. Yeah,
yeah, he would have been close for me. I think Alex Noren's an outstanding bet at 66-1
right
this week. So I'll play him a point each way. It wouldn't surprise me in the slightest if he bounced back to his very best on a more suitable golf course than the two he's played recently. He was 10th on debut last year, and you look through his stats on his first start at Sawgrass, they were absolutely phenomenal. And I think we can glean from those stats that this course fits his eye ideally.
Unlike Augusta National, which didn't.
Absolutely. Yeah. He ranked number one in tee to green play last year and was fifth in strokes gained around the green as well. I was tempted to go in at 50s.
Right.
66-1, I think, is a fantastic price on Noren. I expect him to bounce back this week, and I think he's a good bet on this type of golf course. I think it's perfect for Noren.
He's slightly worried he's gone off the boil.
Maybe slightly, but I think we saw at Quail Hollow last week that it was bombers to the fore, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was populated by those that give it a real smack off the tee. He's not one of those, really. And I don't think the Masters fits him because he wants to fade everything, doesn't he? You need to draw the ball around that golf course, or at least have it going both ways. I think at Sawgrass, he can fade his way around this property. So I'm not. Obviously, if he was in any sort of form, he'd be 40-1 in this field, wouldn't he? Really?
Yeah.
Even if he made one of those last two cuts. So 66ers, I think, is a fantastic price on Alex Noren.
Yeah, jolly good. It's a sort of similar case, I think, with Tommy Fleetwood. Is he 50s?
55-1,
yeah,
Tommy Fleetwood.
You think of a fantastic ball striker, Tita Green, who has done some great things this year but has just gone a little bit off, slightly maybe.
Yeah.
But if you can forgive him sort of last week and... You know, he was superb in the Masters. Again, that was a course where he'd only missed one attempt, missed a cut by a mile. So he was going in trying to solve the puzzle at Augusta and did so. Brilliant third round and went into the last day with an outside squeak. So Tommy Fleetwood, it would not surprise me at all if you know, Europe's number one at 55-1 would be a decent bet.
Yeah, 55-1 for Tommy Fleetwood. I did like Billy Horschel.
Yeah.
I tweeted about it yesterday. He was 100-1 when the first show came through for this event.
And then the locusts.
Yeah, they started to swarm. Yeah. And he got a heck of a lot of experience at Sawgrass. This is where he practices as well. Another Floridian or Florida resident, Billy Horschel. And he's just in exceptional form. And he maintains his form. He won at the Zurich Classic alongside Scott Piercy. And before that, he'd finished fifth at Harbortown. So that's a fifth and a win on his last two starts.
On Pete Dye's.
Yeah. Finished 11th in Texas in between as well. Sawgrass puts a premium on ball striking. That's what we've been talking about on this podcast. And when he has his A game, he's one of the best around, isn't he, in terms of ball striking, Billy Horschel. Just no surprise to see those huge quotes disappear and be replaced with 50-1, which is just a bit too skinny.
You wonder how they ever existed in the first place.
Yeah, you do, don't you? It's as it, because he's one of those players, isn't he? When he
on a roll,
when he's on a roll, you've got to be with him. He a few years ago won those back to back
to win the FedEx
3-1-1 in the FedEx Cup, didn't he? I think to win the whole thing.
Yeah.
So such a confidence player, Horschel, and he's clearly flying high at the moment. So even at 50s, I wouldn't put anyone off him, but obviously, I couldn't really select him given that those fanciful prices have disappeared.
Yeah. Others to sort of look at, I think, that are proving quite popular when I'm reading around. Zach Johnson, Emiliano Griot.
Yeah.
Those are sort of players who've fit the bill.
They're
this
your
week,
steady Eddie types, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. What have we got in those two?
Zach Johnson is 66-1.
Griot.
Which is fair, isn't it? I think on Zach Johnson. Emiliano Grillo is 66-1 as well.
Yeah.
I think I'd much rather have Zach Johnson at 66 than Grillo.
Former runner up here.
Yeah.
Looks to be, you know, double major winner. Mm. Looks to be coming into some nice form.
Webb Simpson, I thought, was interesting at 80-1.
Absolutely, yeah.
Out of that similar sort of mould and putting a lot better than he has done in the last 12 months. So
yeah.
Webb Simpson was one at 80-1 that I had my eye on.
Yeah. Is Adam Scott 80s?
He is.
Yeah, I think, and it was noted that he'd finally recorded a positive strokes gain putting week last week. So if you put it to his ball striking at its best, former winner of this event, obviously.
I suppose it takes a leap of faith, doesn't it, with Adam Scott?
A little bit, but
80
yeah,
to 1.
That's it. You know, as soon as he does something, has a few good weeks, he'll be nothing like those sort of prices. But there are grounds to back him at that price, just about.
Yeah. Any others you want to mention before we wrap up here?
Well, what about the very front of the market then?
Yeah, I suppose so. I'd like Jordan Spieth out of all those at the front end of the market, to be honest, at 14-1.
I just have this memory of him going there in sensational form a few years ago, and he was just awful.
Did finish fourth on debut, didn't he?
Was it the year after then? It must have been after his Masters win.
Yeah, he's missed his last three cuts at Sawgrass.
And it's like he's sort of overthinking it or something. I just don't think the course comes naturally to him like Augusta does.
It's strange, isn't it? Because there's lots of quotes from him expressing his love of the venue. I think there's two separate quotes where he's talked about this being one of his favourite golf courses, which is weird, isn't it? But given his form there, I suppose.
Yeah, this form doesn't back it up at all, does it?
It should be a fit, though, shouldn't it, really? But I understand what you're talking about in terms of maybe the sight lines don't come naturally to him.
But then, who knows? But, I mean, it is PGA Tour HQ, so maybe they've all got to say how much they love it.
That's true. I wasn't tempted by any at the top of the betting, I must admit.
Right.
But I think the one that I like least is McIlroy.
Right.
At 14-1. Just because I think he's got...
Well, his iron play's not been good enough.
Yeah, it's not been good enough, has it? I think he's got one catastrophic round in him. Still.
That's the
problem,
isn't
it? We saw that at Quail Hollow last week, didn't we?
Yeah.
Where he had... he was,
it's on his birthday, wasn't it? He shot 76 in round two.
But he was in prime position, wasn't he?
Yeah.
With a lot of the other big guns at that moment faltering.
Yeah.
Only Jason Day really there, and it looked like his tournament...
Absolutely,
at a venue that he loves.
Yeah.
I'd be... reluctant to go in at 14-1 at this venue.
Yeah, I agree, yeah. Dustin Johnson? Doesn't seem right, does it?
Doesn't seem a perfect fit for Dustin Johnson, does it? Wants that wide property where he can just bombs away.
We've got 4 par 72s, but...
4 par 5s.
Yeah.
4 par 72s would be tricky.
Yeah, well, he'd probably get there in about 8 shots. But yeah, he doesn't sort of jump at you, does he? You think... much better places to play him.
Yeah.
We've just about covered the rest of them,
I think. I think we have. I think we've pretty much wrapped up. There is the Rocco Forte Open as well on the agenda this week. Myself and Dave haven't looked into this event
really.
In any great detail, so we're not going to provide any...
As of Tuesday morning.
So it's pretty early still, but Andy Sullivan's 12-1 favourite for this week European Tour event. Torbjörn Olesen is 16s. Alvaro Quiroz is 25-1.
He was the only one where I thought, because he won there out of nowhere last year, and he's clearly come back into some good form this year, could just go well again.
He almost capitulated, didn't he, last year?
It was sort of agonising.
It was a bizarre event, wasn't it?
Yeah.
With him and, was it Xander Lombard? going down the stretch. I think they ended up in a playoff, and Hao Tong-Li had got in the clubhouse hours before, and had I saw Matt Cooper's piece earlier on Roto World Golf. Matt Cooper said that he'd packed his bags and he was gone, and then he was told to come back because there still might be an opportunity for him to win. So bizarre event
it was, but Kyrgios, runner-up in Morocco, has played, got a new coach again, just seems to, you know, what's he won 7 times on the European Tour now? He is a winner. It might just suit him again, who knows.
Let's recap the selections then for the Players' Championship at TPC Sawgrass. Dave, 3 picks.
Yeah, I'm going to go a point each way, Patrick Cantlay at 50-1. I'm going to go a point and a half each way, Henrik Stenson at 28s. Justin Thomas, because this is an event where it can be hit or miss, I'm going to go for hit, so I'm just going to go 2 points win at 16s.
Okay, I'm going to play all my guys a point each way. Cameron Smith at 66-1, Alex Noren at 66-1, and Tiger Woods, I like this week as well, at 35-1. We've had 6 picks, Dave, so I don't think we can have a player we don't want to win this week between us. Yeah. I think we've just about covered it. Billy Horschel was definitely the last name off my list.
Just the price, isn't it?
Yeah, he'd be the one that price putting me off. Dave, thank you for your company.
Yeah, thank you.
If you want to follow Dave on Twitter, at Dave Tindall Golf, you can follow myself, at D Kellner. Check out all the betting ahead of the Players' Championship this week here with William Hill. 50 odds, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and 6. Sports.williamhill.com and click on golf. And remember to tell your friends about this podcast if you'd be kind enough to do so. Thank you for listening again to the Golf Podcast this week. And we'll be back with a debrief and a look at next week's events on Tuesday.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.